painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking. KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenseth with today's Artbeat.
On this episode of Artbeat, I travel to Lanesboro, Minnesota to visit with the two stars of the Commonweal Theater's production of Souvenir. Souvenir is the story of an unlikely friendship developed between a New York City socialite who could not sing well and her accompanist for 12 years.
But she also thought she could sing, and she was wrong.
I visit with the two actors on character development, their chemistry on stage, the challenges in learning to sing poorly, and more. I'm Terry Tenseth, and you're listening to Artbeat. I am with the dynamic duo of Souvenir, which is taking place at the Commonweal Theater, but you only have a couple more chances to see it. Ten chances to see it. We are in the lobby, in case you hear some noise in the background, but I'm going to have the two stars go ahead and introduce themselves.
Hello, I'm Stella Burt, and I'm playing Florence Foster Jenkins in A Souvenir.
I'm Stephen Houts, and I'm playing Cosme McMoon.
Tell us the story of Souvenir.
Florence Foster Jenkins was a 1940s socialite in New York, fairly wealthy. She did a lot of financing of small musical groups, and she actually financed some of Toscanini's performances, and she put her money in the right place. But she also thought she could sing, and she was wrong. She gave a series of women's society concerts for her organizations, and then eventually gave a sold-out concert at Carnegie Hall. And people loved her. People flocked to her. She was just, it was quite a show that she put on. And Cosme was her accompanist for 12 years. He played for her for those 12 years.
That's a long time to play for somebody who can't sing in key.
Exactly. And that's what our show is about. It's about the relationship between the two of them as it develops, as Cosme is kind of horrified when he first walks in and hears Florence sing, but eventually develops a real fondness for her and a sense of protection over her. And there's a real lovely relationship that develops.
And for you, you have quite the bit of costuming changes to go through. I know you have to wear a special suit.
Yes, so Florence was in her 70s when she gave her final recital at Carnegie Hall. I am not in my 70s. I'm only 40. So we have to. I am going to admit that on the radio. I turned 40 this year. So our costumer did a wonderful job of padding me up. I've got extra hips and extra bosoms, and they swing rather low throughout the show. So it's quite a lot of fun. And then, again, because she was a socialite, she had a lot of money, and so, of course, she had gorgeous outfits. And so I get to wear a lot of really, really lovely vintage 40s dresses. And then, of course, a significant amount of crazy fun costumes when we do the recital at Carnegie Hall. So it's a lot of fun.
So she's changing costumes during her performance.
Yes. Oh, yes. She had different outfits for every song that she would perform, and she would have poses worked out and have the whole thing choreographed and everything put together just the way she wanted it.
Yep.
What are your impressions of the two people now that you've had to, like, internalize them and work with them?
I am so protective of them. Stella and I were fortunate enough to see a screening of the new Meryl Streep movie. I can't really tell you what it's about because I felt so protective of Florence and of Cosme, because these are people we've learned to love, and I feel really protective of them. And I think that's what Cosme learns in this. He becomes very protective of Florence. So I still feel, I don't know if I can be objective about her anymore. She's not funny to me anymore.
I've known about Florence for a long time, and when I first read the script, I absolutely fell in love with the way that the script portrays her, and I just continue to fall more and more in love with her and with Cosme, with their relationship as friends and as musicians who work together and have gained this, you know, musical partnership in the musical sense. One of the things that has always struck me, and what I feel is really striking our audiences too, is the hope that she brings to everyone, because she believes so wholeheartedly in herself and in her dream, no matter what anybody says. And Stephen has a line in the show about the very childlike belief system she has. And it's really pretty amazing,
right,
that a person like that exists,
yeah,
or existed, excuse me.
And I think that's one of the things that people find fascinating about her, because, you know, why is there a movie? There is actually two movies this year. There are two other plays. There's this play and another play about her. And so she's captured the public's fascination. You know, and she was just a crazy lady who gave one recital at Carnegie Hall. She made a few recordings, mostly vanity recordings that are still available. And she's always fascinated people as to why was this woman so well known. She had famous friends. Cole Porter was came to see her. Noel Coward, all of the sort of gossip columnists. Toscanini was her friend. And she had all these famous people that would come and see her perform.
So was it only one performance that she ever did, or?
Only at Carnegie. She only gave one. She gave these performances. Apparently, early in her life, she had a bad situation with the press. And so she never wanted to perform that where she would be reviewed. And so the performances she gave were private events. And in some of the things that says that she actually interviewed the people that came, in other things it says that at least she knew. So she took very careful control over who came to her recitals. And then the Carnegie Hall recital came up, and that was a big gamble because it was open to the public and open to reviews.
So how did you two approach the roles and your relationship while working with each other?
I've known Stella for probably 20-some years. Isn't that right?
I don't know.
At least 15. Yeah. So, I mean, I've known Stella, so it was really kind of fun knowing that I was going to get to work with her.
I took voice lessons from you
way back in the day. Yes, yes.
And then we've worked together on some musicals and things like that.
Yeah.
I know myself, just talking specific about the role, is that I had a really strong sense of who Florence was right from the get-go. But then our director, Alan Bailey, he's just phenomenal. He's a wonderful director, had some really, really wonderful words to say. And one of the things that he and I spent a lot of time doing was reviewing old clips of movies, especially a lot of black and white movies. And in particular, we watched a lot of Groucho Marx, because, of course, Groucho Marx, his straight woman, as you would say, was Margaret Dumont. Yeah. And a lot of the way she embodied her characters is what really inspired me as Florence. And so that was a lot of fun. And then as far as how Stephen and I worked together on stage, I think we're good friends. We're very good friends. I think we had a lot of fun finding the way that Cosme and Florence met and then eventually grew to have this really close friendship, really.
Right.
It became about much more than the music, even though it all stayed based around the music. It became about so much more than that.
How did you go about preparing? Because you have to play the piano,
right?
And Stella, you have to learn how to sing pretty terribly while protecting your voice, because you are a professional vocalist and you sing beautifully.
Well, thank you. That's very nice of you. I've been taking voice lessons since I was pretty young. But when I found out I was going to do this role, I was a little terrified of how am I going to pull off all these operatic songs. I'm not really that much of an opera singer to begin with,
or a soprano.
I mean, I'm much more of a mezzo. So I asked if I could work with a vocal coach, and I've been working with David Judish, who is a retired professor from Luther College. He actually was my professor at Luther when I went to school there. I learned the pieces correctly first. I can't sing them totally correctly because some of them are way too high for me. But I learned them correctly first so that I could then take them and mess with them. And then Dave and I, you know, found some ways to make me sound bad without ruining my voice, for one thing, or hurting my vocal cords, and also find ways that I think are believable as well. The main thing about Florence, if you listen to recordings of her, is she's off pitch, but oftentimes she's actually on pitch. She's not constantly off pitch. But I think the thing that we've talked the most about is the quality of her singing was very thin, like an anemic quality to it. And that I don't do on stage. That's because to me that she wasn't using enough breath. She didn't have enough support, and I'm not gonna do that. So I don't sound exactly like her, and that's okay. I'm my own Florence. And I guess the other question I get asked a lot is it the same every night? I said, oh, no. There's always different things. And sometimes I think, I don't know, Stephen, do you struggle to follow me at all? Doesn't feel like it. Feels like you go right along with me.
I'm a good accompanist. So, you know, you're really easy to follow. I mean, it's to see what she's going with. And things. It's close to being the same. I mean, but the nuances and things are different.
No curveballs?
No,
well, sometimes.
There's a couple of pieces that maybe could be a little bit more correct than they are in certain places, but...
some nights they're very correct and some nights they're not.
For each of you, why did you get into the field of creative arts, being in theater, being in music?
But it's all I know how to do. I knew from a very early age that I wanted to do music and theater, and it's really literally all I have ever done in my life. All kinds of different aspects of it. It's a way for me... I love her speech at the end when she says, if only the music could go on. And I sort of feel like that's what we get to do. We get to do this and live in that world that goes on and share that world with everybody. And that's, to me, amazing.
Oh, I have to answer now.
You have to answer. So why'd you do it? Why do you do it?
So many reasons. I don't want to sound cliche, but for one thing, I love the impact that the arts have on audiences, whether it be theater or photography or sculpture, whatever art form you're talking about. One thing I love about theater is the immediacy of it, that you're not in a room by yourself watching, you know, a television flickering images at you. You're in with live people and they're all communing together, really. I mean, they're sharing this experience together and having their responses. And I love that feeling. And I also love not just bringing joy to people, but bringing, I guess, a sense of wonder or questions, maybe getting people to think about things that they've never thought about before, or thinking about those things in a different way.
Yeah.
That kind of makes me think of the question, or want to ask you the question, are you doing it for yourself or are you doing it for others?
There's this great line in the play when Cosme is questioning about he wants to take care of her because she has that childlike innocence. And he says, so was that her vanity or mine? And I think that really captures it well because, I mean, this is a weird way to say it, but would you ask a doctor, are you doing it to take care of your patients or for yourself? But I think it's a similar type of thing, that giving not only gives to other people, but it gives to us as well, that give and take. I mean, I always wonder about massage therapists, like, why would you want to touch all those bodies? But they say it's the same thing, you know, the give and take that a massage therapist gets from that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true about what we do. It's, we get something from it as well as giving. You know, nothing against massage therapists. I love massage therapists.
I love my massage therapist.
Exactly. Yeah, but I can't imagine having to touch all those bodies, you know.
Yeah.
But they love it, you know, in that sense. And they, you know, who are they doing it for? Are they doing it for themselves or are they doing it for others? Well, in theory, it's for others, but you do get something back from it, something you love.
I agree.
So we're really all just...
Still, you got to start answering the questions first.
I mean, I guess I agree. I really do, because it's both. I mean, obviously... Yes. Do I love the applause? Absolutely. But that's not... Who wouldn't, right? I mean, seriously, but that's not why I do it. I mean, yes, I love the applause, but I really love the give and take, you know, the audience response to what we're giving them, and then what they give us, you know, informs how we connect and move and do on stage. You know, with Souvenir, one thing that's been extraordinary to me is the amount of people who are in tears at the end of the show. And I say that knowing that people who are listening, I need you to know that it's not a sad show.
No.
It's very funny. But there's something that happens at the end, I don't want to give it away, that people are so moved by. And I think it's because we've had them laugh so much. But then there's some serious drama that happens. I love the gamut of emotions that happen, and it's pretty mind-blowing. And people after the show, you know, will say, oh my gosh, that was just so inspiring. And you think, what would be so inspiring about a woman who sings so badly? But it turns out that, guess what? There's so much hope to be had. And again, I hope this doesn't sound too cliche, but the world could use more hope right now. And so I feel like Florence brings that.
Another thing that I think is really wonderful is because I get to share the stage with Stella. And I think our relationship, I mean, it's such a delight to me to go out there. I never get to leave the stage. I'm filler. She goes, changes costume. But, you know, the moment she comes out, it feels like, okay, now we're going to have fun. And I feel like between the two of us, then we start having fun. And I think that's really one of the things that's been great about this show is that we have fun with each other on stage.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
You're going to be sad when it closes.
Yes.
Yes and no.
I mean,
yes
it's
no.
It's one of those things. We've been doing this for 4 months. Yes, it will be really sad when it closes. But, you know, that's the great thing about theater. It always ends. It does end, as Florence says, but it has to end. And then you go on to the next one, but you still have that moment that you've had and that you've shared. And I love that about it.
And I feel very strongly that these characters will be with me forever.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And a pretty integral part of my life, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in quite a few shows, but this one is just really, I don't know, it's really struck the core of my being. And I feel like the message that's coming out of this is pretty strong and clear. I mean, like I said, the message of hope and believing in oneself and having a positive attitude, all those good things, you know,
yeah,
really, really come out of this.
Yeah.
And the connecting with another human being. I mean, really, this is a relationship story.
Right.
It's a story about two people who become friends and where that friendship goes. And how awesome is that?
And it's an unlikely friendship, certainly unlikely friendship. The society woman, and Cosme was, what, 30 years younger than, yeah, about 30 years younger than Florence. And he was, you know, a young man coming to New York trying to make it big as a composer and as a pianist and an artist, and he comes across this woman that changes his life. You know, completely. It's so unexpected. Not what he was expecting. And the relationship is really lovely.
People want to find out more information about the both of you. Where should they go?
Well, all the information about the show is, of course, on our website, commonwealththeater.org. To make ticket reservations, you can call our box office at 1-800-657-7025. And Souvenir plays on Friday nights, Monday nights, and Saturday afternoons. And we're running in rep right now at the Commonweal with the Three Musketeers. And if you're looking to get more information about Stephen and Stella, the best way to get that, of course, is to come see the show.
Exactly.
You're not giving out anything unless you see the show. I understand. I get it. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks again to Stella Burt and Stephen Houts for sharing with us on Art Beat. More information on the Commonweal Theater's production of Souvenir can be found at www.commonwealththeater.org. That's www.commonwealtheater.org. I'm Terry Tensett, thanking you for listening to Art Beat.
Art Beat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.